Just stay in the present and stay focused on what he's giving you today, because he'll worry about tomorrow. He's already got it. Just focus on now. You know, focus on how I can praise him and give him everything right now.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack here with my buddy Zach. Zach, say hello.
Zach, hello.
We're back again with another Unscripted Scripture podcast. We're coming up on our 40th podcast.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
This is 39, I think.
Yeah.
I thought today was 39.
I think it is 39. I'll have to go back and do the math, but I think
Abby
you're right.
Will do the math for us right now.
Yeah.
She says 39.
She's a resident fact checker. Oh, man. What to get into today, dude? What's going on? Spring training's coming up. We got baseball season.
Pitchers and catchers are there. Everyone else is there. By the time this is posted, a game would have been played.
Yeah.
Actually, today.
Today, if you're listening on Sunday, yeah. The boys in red down in Clearwater.
I mean, a whole bunch of boys will be playing, but yeah, especially our boys in red, the Phillies, they'll be playing. They're playing the Orioles, I think.
Hmm.
Who cares? It's spring training, but it's just fun.
Zach,
we get
and
to watch
I,
spring training again.
Yeah, we're really hopeful that we get to go to the games, man. I'm so eager to go to
right,
some ball games
Bank
this
Park,
year.
Look at Philly Fanatic.
Dude,
go say hi to him.
It's been so long. I haven't been to a game in like 2 years.
I watched the World Series the other night.
Really?
2008 World Series.
Oh, dude.
I did cry. I cried. And I got all vamped up. I'm ready for the baseball season.
Yeah. It's so fun.
Hoping the Phillies get a player. One more pitcher in their rotation.
One nice pitcher. Odorizzi.
Yeah, Odorizzi.
Jake Odorizzi.
So hopefully when this is posted, we get him. If he goes to
That'd
the
be
Angels,
solid.
He'll still be good there. But
yeah.
If not, the Phillies will still be good. He'll still win a World Series, just not with as many wins.
They'll get there.
Yep.
But today we are going to be talking about patience. Patience is, it's heavy. It's big on us and particularly me. I think I'm going through a lot of battles with maintaining patience and staying patient in my life in different areas. And we're gonna be looking at our boy Job here. We've come to Job so often.
Jack has come to Job so
yeah, it's awesome, dude.
If I listen back through the episodes just to see how many times Jack has listened to Job or talked about Job.
We talked about him a lot, haven't we?
I only made it through 5 podcasts, and it was in 3 of the 5.
He's so good, dude. So, I love his story. I love this story. It's so long. It's like it's 42 chapters. It's really
To talk about one guy, like one guy's story. It's a long part of the book. Like
it's awesome.
He takes up a pretty good chunk of it. He sits right in there with Psalms and Proverbs as being pretty long.
It's cool because it's like split up in the beginning and the very end are like narratives. They run like narratives, which is most of the New Testament.
It's a fun read.
Yeah, but then like all the way through the middle, it's like poetic, kind of like how Psalms and Proverbs are written. So it's really fun. It takes a while to really dig into it. There's just so much here. But we're going to be talking about, how Job's running with patience and how he dealt with that. We could be talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. Like you said, I think it brought him up in integrity and trust. Those are the two that I think of the most.
Mm.
'Cause it's definitely something that he had to deal with. But let's just jump in. Job 1. So we're going to be describing Job here in the first part. The author's unknown of this book, actually.
What?
We're not quite sure who it is. A lot of people, scholars speculate that it is Job himself. Other people could say it's like Moses or Solomon or one of his friends that we meet later on.
My Bible says we do not know.
Yeah.
Usually my Bible knows everything, and now it just says
Bible.
We do not know.
Yeah. It's good. I'm glad we don't know because it gives us some mystery.
The unknown. Mystery. I mean, I talk about the unknown in almost every podcast. Like
we love the unknown.
Yeah. No expectations. The unknown. Let's go.
Let's do it. And so we start off here in the land of Uz. Uz, I think it says.
Uz. I would call it Uz.
Uz.
I like Uz. Can we call it Uz?
Uz. Okay. In the land of Uz lived a man whose name was Job. And Job was blameless and upright. Feared God and shunned evil. That's the first verse right there.
Yeah, man. I want that on my grave when I die.
Yeah, right?
Like, if I had a book in the Bible, I would want that my first verse.
This is where he's from. Zach. In the land of Lancaster, there lived a man named Zach, who was blameless and upright, feared God and shunned evil.
Yes. Oh, period. My word.
That's like, cool.
I want to live by that verse. Let's go.
Why not? But he had a huge family. He had 7 sons, and he had 3 daughters, and he had a lot of livestock. He was super rich, dude. Super rich. Like, he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and he had a large number of servants.
And he had a large number of servants.
That's crazy.
He is like, I was telling Jack earlier, the Elon Musk.
Elon.
Elon Musk. Sorry, yeah. Elon. Of today's generation.
Yeah.
Today's world.
Like, one of the richest dudes on earth.
Except this guy, Job, loves Jesus. Well, loves God. Perfect. Jesus was not there yet.
Yeah. And that's what sets him apart, and God recognized that. Like, God set him apart from people.
Everyone wanted to be like Job.
Yeah.
Whether you were a Christian, well, I guess you weren't called a Christian then, whether you were just a follower or just a business guy, everyone wanted to be rich and love God as good as Job did.
For sure. And, I mean, Job, you could see every morning, early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering to God for each of his children, because he always thought to cover up their sins. He's like, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So he regularly sacrificed stuff on their behalf.
Let's think about that. Like, if I went out, like, he's like, I mean, being a rich dad, having a rich dad, say my dad was rich and he's like, I would have a nice car, you know? Mm. And so I would race it and maybe go out partying, and because I feel like I'd be on top of the world because I get everything. Mm-hmm. But then there's my dad, Job, who's like, you know what? I'm paying my dues in case my son or daughter messes up.
Yeah.
Every morning.
That's so honorable. Like, that's such a honorable dad that in spite of what his children may be doing, he's taking that upon himself. Like, he's taking their burden and showing God respect on behalf of them.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of like, I mean, it's not really like the prodigal son, but how the prodigal son just wanted to take the father's money and run, you know, and and the father's there like allowing him to do it because he just had faith in God that he was going to come back or whatever. He was sad, but like, and Job too, like Job's like, I think my children have sinned, so I have to do this for them, you know, because I don't want them to go to hell. That's awesome.
Right.
And so we love Job, you know, God loves Job. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and the devil, Satan, came with them.
Dun, dun, dun.
And the Lord said to Satan, he said, where have you come from? Satan said, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.
You can put that on my grave, too. I want that on my grave.
There was no one on earth like him?
Yeah. Oh, my.
I love that, man. That's so cool. Like, God recognized Job as being so different. He said there is nobody on earth like this man. He is that different. He is that upright and loving towards me and fearful of me that he's like, set apart from the weeds, man. Like, he's that different. I love that. I love that
set
verse.
Set apart from the weeds.
That's so cool.
Nice.
Like, it's awesome. And Satan asked him, does Job fear God for nothing? He's like, have you put it? He's basically saying, you've blessed him with all these things. Of course he's going to, like, stay upright and blameless to you and fear you because you've blessed him with family, wealth, riches, whatever. He says, have you not put a hedge around him and his household, everything he has? You bless the work of his hands. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord responded and
said, all right, bet.
Let's do it. I bet. But don't kill him. He's like, you cannot lay a finger on him, but go have your way with him. And
that's like torture, man.
It is torture.
It's like allowing torture.
Yeah. God's allowing that. He's allowing Satan to just run up this guy's life.
Yep.
And Satan left from the Lord there. And then it's just disaster struck one after the other.
It's not like there was a warning either. Like
no, just all
knock,
at once.
Knock on Joe's
and it's not like it was like
God.
Over a series of time. Like everything he knew and loved literally came crashing down on the same day.
So it starts off with?
It starts off with a messenger comes in saying the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put all the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. So that's the first guy. Another guy comes in. While that guy was still speaking, another messenger comes in and says, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. So in a matter of minutes, probably minutes, bro, like his donkeys, his oxen, his servants, his sheep,
camel,
his camels, and his children.
His kids. Oh, dude.
All gone.
And like you said, all in the same moment.
Like, didn't even have time to process the first thing when he found out, like, his kids were dead. Like, one after the other, like, couldn't even process it. It just all crumbled.
So, say this happens to you, Jack. What's your next step? After four or five of those things.
It's something that's so, like, unimaginable. You know, like we experience so much crap here. For we think right now we experience so much crap.
We're 1 minute late to something. And
yeah,
we're like, why
life is over.
God?
Like everything's down, like downpouring, and the Sabians are attacking. But like this guy had everything. All of the things he had in life came crashing down.
So what are you doing next?
I don't know, dude. I can't answer it. It's just too. It's too insane for me to even like fathom how I would think about that situation. I know I'm not Job. Like I'm not that blameless and upright the way he would have been. The way he responded to this, I don't think I could do that. I don't believe I'm that devout and that strong in my faith to be able to do that. But I want to be, you know?
Yeah. I don't know either. Like, but there's some kind of sense where I'm like, okay, if that's all, if I'm that devoted to God and all that's happening at once, I'm like, okay, this is definitely weird, but I guess this is God.
Hmm.
Don't you think if
it
you
would
had
take
five
time,
of huge things,
it would have to, it would for me like. So I think there's two ways to this. It's like you could be so distraught by it that it takes so much time to get over it, or it's so much stuff piling down on you that the only thing you can do is drop to your knees and just pray. There's just that much stuff that you don't even need to process it. You just got to be like, drop to your knees and just give it up.
That's the only thing you can do.
That's it. And I'm thinking like,
driving into a wall.
Yeah. Like I would hope that that would be my reaction. If my house burned down, if it destroyed my family, that I would just drop and pray to God, like asking him, questioning him, hopefully praising him, dude, but that is hard. Like, that's hard.
But what did Job do?
So in 20, at that moment, Job got up. He tore his robe, shaved his head.
Definitely would do both of those.
Tear
I don't
your
know
clothes.
About the hair, but...
Shave your head.
Tear the robe.
And he fell to the ground in worship. Not in angst, not in anger, not in rage, in worship.
In worship.
And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So Job never sinned. He never cursed God the way the devil had intended. Even though God allowed the devil to take everything from him, he said, this is what it was meant to be. The Lord gives, the Lord can take away. You know, you gave me all of this. You can take it. because it's yours. Even my children. Even his children, man. That's faith like no other. That's like that's trust, patience like no other.
I know. You can take, for me, you can take my oxen. I mean, I guess that's, what would an oxen be? We'll say a car. It's like a modern day car.
I guess so.
Or tractor.
But I mean, well, it's all of his tractors.
I know. Okay, so you go through all that stuff. But I feel like, you're like, really? And then you get to like your servants. Like, and if Job was as good as a guy as he was, his servants would be almost like family to him.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, and then his actual family and his roof over his head, everything. And you're like, how are you not? Like, my knees are shaking right now. Like, how do you not just, like, man, I'm lost. I don't know what I would do. I'm still stuck on that question.
I mean, for us, it's our jobs. It's our houses, our food. We would be homeless people in that instant, all in one instant. We go from being, you know, a Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, to homeless in a day, Zach, in one day. Like, the weight of that, recognizing that, whoa, like, none of it matters anymore.
Yeah, my first thought is everything I worked for is gone.
Or and that's, I never had control.
Right, and that's where I would be at the wrong, because I'd be like, that was all mine. I did all that,
and
I lost all of that. Yeah. So this is all on me, but what Job understands is, that's not mine. That was never mine.
Through all his success. I was blessed. Dude. Yeah. Through all his success. Like, he was always praising God for what it gave him. And I'd love to see, like, his journey to that day. Like, how God continued to put that on his life. Like, here's oxen. Here's a couple more camels each year.
You mean, like, before this?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
building up to that. Like, each camel he got oxen, he's like, I don't think I need that many oxen, man. I don't need that many camels. That's too much money. You know, like, that's too much money. Just like, thank you, God. Like, he's just always, always thanking God. And now he's like, the fact that he took it all away, you know, he's able to see that it's okay, because it was never mine in the beginning. You know, it was never mine. It was always his. Pretty cool. And devil's mad, dude. He was mad right now.
He's like, I'll get you, Jesus. I'll get you, God.
Dude, Satan was kicking himself. Goes back to God, the Lord, in chapter 2, and Lord again says, have you considered my servant Job? No one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And add something else to the tombstone for Zach. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Maintained his integrity.
I'm sorry, God is saying this or the devil?
God, yeah, God's saying this to Satan. Although you wanted to ruin him, he maintained his integrity towards me. Then Satan's like, all right, skin for skin. Skin for skin. A man will give all he has for his own life. He says, stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. Surely. He has to, right? I mean, if you ruin his body, of course he's going to curse you.
All of his good looks.
Yeah, all his good looks, man. How do you think he got all the camels? I don't know.
Yeah.
The Lord said, very well. He gave it to him. He's like, all right, do it. Do it. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. He scraped himself with the pottery. Just painful, dude. He's just trying to scrape all these sores off. That's nasty.
Yeah, or else he's trying to create other pain so he doesn't think about the pain he's actually in.
It's insane. You know? I can't imagine. Like, and his wife comes in. Now his wife comes in. Picture.
Ooh, first time. the yeah. wife.
His wife says, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." The wife calls him out and says, "You gotta curse God." So the devil's already worked in her. The devil's like moved in her. It's like, okay, now go tell your husband he's gotta curse God. Like he's like, God's left you. Like devil's just like pounding into these people. And she goes and she's like, "How can you do this?" And he replies, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And in all that, Job didn't sin in what he said. He didn't sin, man.
Mm-mm.
He did not sin. I love it. So he calls his wife out. He's like, "No." And so his wife is saying, "You got to curse God." And he's like, "No, I can't do it. I can't do it." And his three friends come. And his three boys, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they heard about all the troubles that had happened to him. They left their houses and they met together and they agreed, "We're just going to go. We're gonna sit with him. We're going to sympathize with him and comfort him." Because
my
those are the friends.
Guys,
that's it, dude. Those are his
you
boys.
If you don't have friends like Job has friends, then get friends like Job has friends.
You need your twos and threes.
Oh, my goodness.
You need them. But they saw him from the distance. They couldn't even recognize him because all the sores and the disease that had struck him, like he didn't even look the same.
I think we have a picture of it in our Action Bible. We'll have to double check.
Yeah, it looks really good.
We'll post it if we do.
And all they did was weep aloud. They started to weep with him. They tore their robes and they sprinkled dust on their heads. And they sat on with him. They sat with him for 7 days and seven nights. 7 days and seven nights. And
I'm
nobody
telling
said
you,
a word.
Get friends like Job's friends.
Dude, it's insane. They didn't even speak for that long. They didn't even speak.
Oh, that's even better.
They
silence?
Just sat with him in comfort and just like, "We're just showing you that we're with you."
Because you know it's always annoying when you're going through something and there's that one friend that's like trying to give you advice and you're like, "Dude, you don't even know. You've never gone through this."
That's hard. That's hard to do. Like, and that's what we're called to be, you know, quick to listen.
Yep.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Like, we have to. We have to just listen.
Yeah. I think that's the best thing you can give someone during a grieving time is time of silence, just your presence. Like, don't offer them something to say, just your presence and letting them know, "Hey, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
A hug.
Yeah. And the first one to speak was Job, you know? Mm. And the rest of Job up until 38, they just have back and forth conversations. You know, Job and his three boys, three friends, they're talking, and Job starts to decline, man. He starts to lose his trust in God.
No longer has those tombstone sayings.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, scratching him out a little bit. He's you know, in 3:10, he says, you know, "Why am I even born? For it did not shut the doors of the womb on me to hide trouble from my eyes." Like, he was questioning his birth.
He's starting to think of what his wife said. "Man, I should have just cursed God and died and been done with this."
Yes, dude. And he keeps going, like, "Why? I'm innocent." Like, he calls himself innocent throughout the book. And back and forth with his friends, like, "What could you have done? What did you do to anger God so much that he cursed you?" And then he's like, "Nothing. Like, I'm innocent. I'm guiltless." And that angered his friends even more because they're like, "You can't
just tell us.
Yeah, you can't be. You're not God. You can't be innocent. You can't be innocent." And this is where Job is struggling with patience, man. Like, he's struggling with how to be patient and how to trust that this is all God allowed all this to happen. Like, it's in the scripture. We see it. Like, God's allowing this to happen. And this is where, like, I struggle with a lot, too, is, you know, with getting a job and or wanting to, you know, get married. Those are kind of big things that I'm looking forward to in my life. And I just want them to come quicker.
Mm.
And so I'm really lacking in being patient and waiting on the Lord and waiting for his, you know, my time,
so you're
that
playing,
he's allowed me, you know.
You're playing like the 3 month game, like, "Oh, I can't wait till I'm in this spot in 3 months, until I'm graduated and one step closer to marriage and just all this stuff.
And it's hard because I know I don't, I know I can't think like that.
Because then you miss out on today.
Yes, that's
if you're living for tomorrow, you're going to miss out on today.
I'm missing out on like how he wants to use me today, how he's going to use me today, dude. Like I'm missing that because I'm so hopeful for the future. And I'm like, and then I get so angry that like it's not happening now and I can't see results. And I'm like, I just want a job. I just want to be married. Like I want that next step, you know, and I feel like stuck that I'm in college and like I can't get out of it. But it's, I have to trust that his timing is good and it's perfect. His timing's perfect. And towards the end, like God comes down to Job and gets mad at him. He's like, who are you to say like that you have no idea what I'm doing behind the scenes, man?
He hands it to him.
You have no, yeah, dude. He's like, you have no idea. You can't sit here and speak, you know, crap about me. You can't do that.
Right. And well, God, he has a reason to be pissed off because he just stuck up to the devil, his arch enemy, and said, this guy's the guy. Like he put his foot down. He's like, Job is the man. So then for Job to be like second guessing God, he's like, dude, I was sticking up for you back there. Yeah. Like, don't you dare go out on me. I've been with you this whole entire time.
This is what the devil wanted, dude. This is what the devil wanted from the beginning. It just took some time, you know? It just took him, like, reflecting on all that the devil had did to start to, like, get closer to cursing God. And God's like, oh, hold up. You have no idea what you're talking about.
So, let's look at Job. How is that supposed to help us today in our world?
So, I think it's supposed to help us in that we don't know God's plans for us. Just as Job didn't, we have no idea what's going to come next. He basically had two lives, man. Mm. He had a whole life before all this, and God restored a new life in him after that. You know, at the end, like, he has tons more livestock than he ever did before. He has 10 children. Like, he has so many people. He lived to be 140. He had two lives. So, like, we don't know what's coming next. You know, we have no idea what's coming next, but God's got it all mapped out, so we don't even have to worry. You know, we don't have to worry about it. That's what I love so much about Job, man. This guy, freaking crazy.
What I would take from this story is live in your patience. Be patient, guys. Like, yeah, tomorrow is going to come. That thing where you're like, oh, I just can't wait till the summer gets here. The summer's going to get here, but don't be living for the summer. Live for what you're doing today. Like, God has an opportunity for you today. Don't let three months go by and you miss out on what could be a great time that God has given you.
Yeah, but and even if God doesn't promise you tomorrow, even if he takes your life today, just stay in the present. You know, stay focused on what he's given you today, because he'll worry about tomorrow. He's already got it. Just focus on now. You know, focus on how I can praise him and give him everything right now.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's cool.
So that's it, like Jack said. So you guys know who we are. Jack, fun fact. Do you know we are in 16 countries?
Really?
Yeah.
16 countries. That's crazy.
16 countries.
Yeah. I think we're on like most continents too.
We just hit 16.
Wow. That's awesome, dude.
I almost switched continents and countries. I do that often.
Dude, that's just like God's power extends to the nations. You know, every people and tribe, every nation, every tongue. Like he is making his kingdom, you know, and I'm so grateful that he's using us to do that. You know, that he's like that we're called to that. It just makes me want to get up each week and do this even more, you know, even better.
I know. Dude, I was just, you know, doing this for mom and dad and brothers and sisters, and now everyone else is listening too.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we love our platform. We're going to use it, keep on using it. And you guys are awesome, man. Listeners are awesome, dude. I love our audience.
I love them. They're sweet. They're so cool.
Oh, my goodness, you guys. But, yeah, like we always say, thank you for listening. You guys can always get in touch with us. Abby, our producer, has put some awesome links in the description below that you can just click on and you can easily go. It's like one click away. You can just go to our pages, and you can contact us or just follow us. And we like to say that you should rate and review us too, because that's what it takes to be successful, I guess. I don't know. But no, we like the feedback. We want to get better. So help us get better, guys. Other than that, love you. We will see you next week. Have a fantastic week. Goodbye.